Now, the preach today is on prayer. Now, when I spoke to Joss on Friday night, and I said, oh, what are you going to say? I said, oh, the praying church. And I kept going through my head, and I said, what's the title? Is it the praying church or a praying church? Now, it might sound, you know, oh, what's the difference? A praying church or the praying church? You know, and the difference is the praying church just speaks about the church full stop, no matter where you are, as a church that just prays. You know, a praying church, a singular, speaks about one church that has got a burden of prayer and that. And I want to just say, you know, I rather want us to speak of the praying church, because that is what Jesus spoke about. You know, those words of Jesus in Matthew 21:13, and he said to them, and this was in the temple when he was chasing out the money changers, he said, and it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. Just raise this a bit. Now, Jesus' life was just a life of prayer during the time that he was on the earth. And when you look back at that and you think, the Son of God fulfilled prophecy, was born, became the, you know, at the age of 33, he fulfilled his promise to his father and he preached the gospel. And that the Spirit came upon him. He did everything that the Father desired of him. Yet, it spoke so often of this man that went on his knees every opportunity in the middle of the night, and he prayed to the Father. I looked in the dictionary, and I went online, as we always do, and we tried to find these definitions of what is prayer. And just, you know, just a few definitions. A solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or another deity. Some Christians put it on, prayer is a communication process that allows us to talk to God. Someone else writes, prayer is the practice of the presence of God, of talking to God. It is the place where pride is abandoned, hope is lifted, and supplication is made. Now, you can look at all these things and you think it's so many ways of what we can define prayer as. But essentially for us here as Christians, we just think of prayer as one thing, talking to God. No? But it's more than that. It's not just talking to God. It's also that opportunity of listening to God. Yes, prayer does require us to use our minds. We open up our minds, we speak to God, and we expect God to speak back to us. Before this, as we worshiped, we can speak about worship as being an expression of prayer, in that we've prayed a few prayers, but even worship itself is a prayer to God. Now, I looked over my bookshelf and I thought, you know, what am I going to say about prayer? What do I need to say? So I decided, just to demonstrate something, I looked at my books on prayer. And of course, I started with the most obvious and most logical one, the Bible. You know, it's a book of prayer. It speaks about prayer. It even has got a little piece in there that tells you how to pray. And guess who the teacher was? Yeah, it's in there. And I thought to myself, maybe just to help you all, because I think things I'm going to say has probably been said over and over and over again. So I don't feel I'm going to be saying anything new, but it's just an encouragement to make us aware of what prayer means. So one of my favorite authors, Andrew Murray. Yeah. The great thing about it, he was a fellow South African. Yeah, and he spoke a language that most of you probably wouldn't understand. Yeah, Afrikaans. Yeah, that's where I was. He was a preacher, Afrikaans preacher, and everything got there. Lots of books on prayer, fantastic. Have you heard of a guy called Richard Foster? He's got this fantastic book on prayer. As you can see, I've only got a small list of books I've got. You know, I've got John White, I've got Joyce Huggett, you know, people who know, Graham Cook, well known with the New Frontiers, yeah. Then David Watson, everybody know him, yeah. And then who else have I got here? Some other people, yeah. Andrew Knowles, and just a list of people. James E. Griffiths, some of them you know, some of them you've never heard of, yeah. The reason why, oh yes, by the way, I've got a book here about a guy by the name of, I don't even know him, it's called Terry Virgo, yeah. He just wrote about praying the Lord's Prayer, as I mentioned earlier about that prayer in the Bible, yeah. He's written something about that. I've read so many books. Books says, yeah, one book is written, it says, Hidden Warfare. You know, it's a great name for a book about prayer, Hidden Warfare. I've read all these books. And you can read all these books, even more. My question is, how many books have you read on prayer? Anybody? How many books have you read on prayer? Anybody want to just give me some numbers? It can be one or two or even zero. Doesn't matter. Yeah? 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 One book on prayer? Yeah? Half a dozen? Yeah? Like I said, it just goes, it depends what you feel you want to read and what guides you as far as prayer goes. Yeah. The thing about books is, they're always just going to be a book. You can read them over and over again, and they are just going to be words. Even the Bible can just be classified just as a book. Until it is the Holy Spirit, allow those words to touch your heart and move you and stir you, then they're going to mean something. I have read all these books, and hasn't made a difference in my prayer life. Do I walk in a constant state of prayer? No. Do I struggle with prayer? Most definitely. When I was in Cape Town, the church I was part of, we decided, friend and I, that we're going to start a 24-hour prayer chain. We thought, we need this as a church. We are a fairly sized church. I think we were about 500 people going on that way. We thought, we've got enough people in the church to have a 24-hour prayer chain. Because everybody else seemed to be doing this. Why can't we do it as a church? So we organized it. So we said, okay, let's draw a rota, people, emails, blah, 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 get it going. And we said, okay, this is, and we got going for it, and we said, okay, the hardest time we're going to find is around midnight, and that. He said, no, actually, that's not a problem. A lot of people that pray generally are around that time. He said, okay, when is the problem? Oh, at about 3 o'clock to 5, 6 in the morning, you know, just before people, that was the most difficult time. My friend and I, well, there was four of us initially, we said, we are young. We will take over this heavy task. And we decided we're going to do it. We lasted a month. I was knackered completely. I was shattered. I used to go to work. And people would say, Mark, how are you doing? And there would be like a few second response. It's like, I'm fine, I'm fine. Because we felt we were doing the Lord's work. We were praying. If I look back and I think, what did I learn from that all? That it made me tired. That's probably the most important lesson I've learned was, no matter how young you are going to get tired, you know, and you can only do that so much in your own strength. Yeah, we believe God had called us, and I think as a church, you believe God guides you and leads you, and especially in the area of prayer, people feel, you know, God has got to lead us and guide us. Yes, and God does do that. He leads and guides you in all areas, and we as Christians have got to believe that, or else what's the point of being part of God's church? If he's not leading us, then we are really in trouble. And through that time of going through, you know, praying, and then we tried different techniques. He says, oh, let's pray for so long in tongues, and that will encourage us. We tried everything that was written about, everything that was mentioned, and then we still got tired. And we still ended up having to stop because we just couldn't continue. What I'm trying to say is God can inspire us in prayer. We can have the energy initially to just kind of go for it and say, we are going to do it. And as a church, it would be great if we do feel like it. We say, okay, God say, let's do prayer and let's, you know, go for it in prayer. But we get to the point, and as was mentioned earlier by Dave, you know, we get, sometimes things are not always just great. We have ups and downs. Things happen in our lives, you know, that affect us. Family, different issues. And we are affected by that no matter what people say. We're not immune to it. But the thing about prayer is that it's as much more than us just kind of come before God with a list of words, a list of supplications, a list of, God, can you do this for us? Oh, God, listen to me. God wants to use prayer as an education more for us than for him. God does not need prayer. God needs nothing. Yet he gives us that fantastic tool of prayer to communicate to him, to learn from him, to grow with him. You know, around the world, everybody prays. In the Himalayas, places you go to, they've got prayer drums, prayer flags. You've got specific people you can go to. You can give the request to them. And these people are specially, what's the name, anointed to be able to pray to the gods for you. You know, there's different ways of seeing. Everybody knows about prayer in the world. You know, it's not unique to Christianity. It's something that everybody talks about. You know, prayer exists as a means of people seeing it's communicating to a higher body. But just to remind you, prayer is different for us. We're not communicating to a higher body. Because God is with us. God is for us. But God, we're not just communicating to God, but he communicates back to us. And each of us can pray. We don't need to have somebody that we can go to and we say a set of prayers, and that person then can say the final prayer that will suddenly go off by pressing the button and off that email goes to God. No, each of us has got the direct access to God, no matter who we are. And no matter how young or how old you are as a Christian, or how long you've been a Christian, and it doesn't matter what your vocabulary is like or how few words you've got, God not only hears your words, but he hears your heart as well. Prayer is important. Why is prayer important? Why is Jesus, who now sits at the right hand of the Father, intercede for us? He's there. Why does he need to intercede for us? Honestly, I don't know the answer. But the Bible says Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father and he's interceding for us. You know, if Jesus, when he was on the earth, prayed on a regular basis through the Father, when he got anointed by the Holy Spirit, he spoke, you know, the Holy Spirit came upon him, anointed him to do the good works, and yet through that time, he still on a regular basis went before the Father and prayed. He died on the cross, and he rose again. Thank you, God. We saved. He ascended to heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he still continued to intercede in praying for us. If that's not an indication of how important prayer is, then maybe I should speak about something else. But God was sitting there with Jesus, the right name, interceding for us. day in and day out, it must indicate that there's some importance of prayer in our lives as a church. Now, sometimes we look at that and we think, well, as a church, we really struggle. We don't pray enough. You know, if Jesus is sitting there and interceding for us, you know, why do we have to pray? Why do we have to come on a regular basis in our own lives personally and as a body? Why do we have to pray to God? If I had to ask you now, is if you had to pray now, what do you think you're doing? If I ask you a question now, if you prayed now, if you prayed for, say, God to save somebody, yeah, what do you think you're doing? Yeah, what is it doing for you? What is it doing to God? You say, Lord, save that person. And we pray that. We pray those prayers. What does it do? What does it mean? The Bible says, God's chosen us before the world began. You know, what's the name? Salvation comes from God, is a gift from God, a free gift, and God has decided already those who are elected. Yet we pray those prayers. We say, Lord, save that person. Maybe the other way around, we pray for, Lord, heal that person. Or, God, guide that person. We pray all sorts of prayers. But what do we really, I mean, when we pray this, what does it really mean to us? Do we really expect God to hear us? Do we really expect God to answer us? Do we really expect God to act upon that? You hope so. That's why we pray. We've got to believe that when we pray, God hears our prayers. You know, God says, come to me. You know, God wants us to speak to him on a constant basis, to grow with him, you know, to learn from him. And in that, we can bring and ask God. You know, the God says, you know, ask me. Ask me. Ask me, ask me. And that's what prayer essentially comes down to, is we always asking God. But God encourages us, because the one thing we've got to understand above anything else with prayer, more importantly than anything else you can think about, is that first and foremost, God hears our prayers. Because that's where it all starts. If we don't believe God hears our prayers, then we just are speaking to a blank wall. Yeah, then we might as well just be, in a sense, in Jerusalem by what was classified maybe as part of the old temple, and sit with our little prayers written down on pieces of papers and stick it in the wall, yeah, and expect the wall to write back to us. Yeah? God hears our prayers. We've got to believe that. We've got to look at, if we don't believe that very basic and simple starting principle, that when we pray to God and we talk to God, God hears us. That is so important in prayer. That's why prayer is so important, is when we speak, God says, come to me. God wants to hear our prayers. God wants to hear what we have to say. Now people may say, what's the point of that? God knows everything. It comes back to the fact it's not about God in the end. It's about us. God wants us to come to him. That's why he says, come to me. God wants us to voice ourselves. A good example, Gail and I, married for a few years. It's important for me to communicate, to express, maybe not as much as she would like, but, you know, to say hello, goodbye, you know, thank you, can you pass the salt, you know, communicate with her. And through that, we get to know one another. You know, imagine being 10 years together and all you ever come in is just walk past, no communication, you know. I don't know how we would kind of maneuver that kind of thing where you don't speak to one another at all, yeah. But we need to essentially communicate to one another so we can understand one another. Yeah? God essentially doesn't need us to communicate with him for him to understand us. We need to communicate with God so we can understand God. Unless we open ourselves up and we communicate with God, then we can let God to speak to us. And that is what prayer is all about. Prayer is about essentially us communicating with God. And through that, we will grow. No book, no matter how many books I've shown you here, you're going to read. No matter how many sermons you listen to, yeah, those are not going to essentially change the way you pray and communicate with God. The only way your prayer life changes is when you communicate with God. God changes you. God is the one that's going to draw you. God is the one that's going to grow you in prayer. No book is going to do that. A book can give you guidelines. Remember a while back we spoke about the rules of Christianity? And we just said the problem is they don't exist. You know, it's not a nice, what's the name book that you take out with a little, break the seal, and voila, we've got Christianity all in nice form, and you follow the rules, you've made it. Christianity's never been about that. We have made it. God saved us. That is not the issue. Now it's about living our Christian lives, and that's when the prayer comes into the whole thing, how it all fits together. Andrew Murray, as you can see, you probably hear, I'm quite a fan of Andrew Murray as far as prayer goes. You know, he says, you know, there's only one teacher as far as prayer goes. There's only one teacher, and that is Jesus. In Luke 11:1, after the disciples have spent quite a bit of time with him and have seen that the life that Jesus had lived, they came to him and they said these words, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, Terry Virgo has written the book on praying the Lord's Prayer, and that's where Jesus goes through them and just gives them this framework of the Our Father as a means of just communicating and praying to God. Jesus' life that overflowed in his public life before man came out of his hidden world with God. Those times when he spent communicating and just receiving and growing God, that what stood out. I want my life to be that. I might not feel I have the time. I might not feel I've done enough praying. And we're all going to feel like that. We all feel that we never pray enough. Yeah. And no matter how much you pray, it always comes down to you always feel like you never pray enough. Some people God has called and has gifted that have really got such a heart for prayer that they can just pray for hours on end and just spend time in God's presence. Not all of us are like that. As a church, you can have different strengths in prayer in the church. Some people are really, like I say, really prayers. They really know how to go. They're really interceders. They're the people that when you really feel, you know, things are down, you kind of just something about them. You just kind of say, oh, pray for me. You know, there's just something about it. And God does that. God has gifted us in so many different ways. And as a praying, as the praying church, through the ages, we've had stories of people with such amazing prayer lives. You know, books have written about them. Yet, in the big context of how big the church is, you just think, it just seems to be such a few that stand out. They are the exception. They are those people that are called to those unusual lives of prayer. If you are called to that, great. God has gifted you in that. If you're not called to that, great. God has gifted you in something else. But you're still part of this church. You're still part of their church. You can still pray even in the small capacity you might think in yourselves. There's no reason. There's nothing that can stop you from praying. Over this this last year or so, I think, when we've seen this, just the whole horrible war across the Middle East, and we hear about these the people, the Yazidis, they are a Christian sect in the area, and just the stories that come out of that. And I know that John gave me that video on the Syrian people and that, and it's mixed that Middle East of just so many different people, and those people's lives, you know, that they would not give up God, and they, even the death of persecution, and they would just pray. Now, some of the early Christian books writes about, you know, when the Christians were taken in, especially during the time of Nero and that, they constantly worship and they pray in the face of persecution. I hope that doesn't happen to me, I'll be honest. I don't think I'll be able to cope. Yeah. But they found strength in prayer and in worship. And that which they experienced that time, even now, those people in the Middle East experiencing different ways, prayer is still the same. Prayer hasn't changed. The same power of prayer that they experienced through the ages, through as Christians, we have it here before us. Why? Because God doesn't change. God is the same as he was, as he will be, as he ever will be. God doesn't change, and that's what our prayer that's where our prayer hangs on. Our prayer hangs on God, hangs on Jesus, who's now at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. We can pray the smallest of prayers, we can pray the biggest of prayers. God hears everything, and God will respond to everything in his time and in different ways. And I think that's why, for me, is the praying church is a church that doesn't feel that they have a few superstars that carries them, that feels like, oh, maybe we are not that kind of church. Yes, we are. We are the praying church. We are part of that. We prayed in different contexts. We might not be the marathon runners in prayer that pray in day out and day out, you know, but we pray in our own different ways. There's different ways of praying. Some people say, oh, I can pray while I'm walking. For me, it's I've got to have a quiet place, shut the door, and pray. Some people would go and they'll put on a music, and then while they're listening to music, that will just take them into the place of prayer. Before we started this series, we started on the whole thing of promises of God. If you feel that you're struggling just in the area of where to start in prayer, that is a fantastic place to start. It's in the Bible. We went through a few promises, but it's all in the Bible. And just say, God, those promises, I can pray them back to you. I can pray them back to you. And let God speak to you and let you grow in that. I find that for my own prayer life, there's ups and downs, as all of you probably testimony to that in different ways, ups and downs. And you are going to be looking for the formula. You are going to be looking for that breakthrough. You're going to be looking for that kind of movement by the Spirit that will just kind of carry you on the wings, and then you're just going to feel, I'm never going to grow tired in prayer. You want to be able to feel, I can just go in my little quiet corner and pray for hours on end and just be in God's presence and everything will be shut off. Anybody experienced that yet? Anybody? It doesn't happen that way on a regular basis. God can do that. He can give you that unusual experience. But prayer in itself, the praying church, does require a bit of work on our side. I mentioned earlier about, you know, God's chosen us before the world began. We believe in God's sovereignty. We believe God has got a plan. We believe that nothing can change God's plan. God's will cannot be denied because he's God. There's no one above him. Yeah? Yet God has given us this fantastic tool called prayer. And we think, through prayer, we speak to God and God communicates back to us. God encourages us through that when we pray for things and we see things happen. I don't know how that works, but it does. We pray things and things happen. Now, I balance that in my hands. I think is God sovereign. He's got a will. He's got a plan. Nothing's going to change that. He knows everything. Yet he says, pray, and then something happens because I pray. Amazing. That's all I can encourage you to say is believe God hears your prayer. Believe God wants you to pray to him. Believe that God is going to answer your prayer in his time and in his way. But believe that when you pray, things happen. This church, how are we going to grow? How are we going to move forward? We can do it by prayer. We've got to believe as we pray. As a corporate body, you know, it's great that we pray on in the week when we come together at Bible study, you pray. We pray as often in different contexts. But we want to make this a praying church. That we don't believe we've got to have a fantastic moment, then suddenly prayer suddenly bursts alight and all of us are just fantastic prayers and we can go on for hours and hours. It's never going to happen. You know, it might happen. God might be sovereign. But generally, it never happens. But we've got to believe that's no discouragement for us to continue in prayer. I've got all these books here. You can borrow my books. You can read as much as you want to. And they're the best and the only teacher we ever need is Jesus. I'm just going to pray now. And I want to pray a simple prayer. And just ask God that us as individuals, first and foremost, we cannot pray as a church unless you as an individual believe that God hears your prayer. Father, our lives are so busy in so many different ways, Lord. Physically, we are tired, Lord. Mentally as well. Lord, sometimes our lives as Christians over a long period, Lord, we can become despondent. We feel we pray for things, for healing, for different things, and we never seem to find or hear or get an answer, Lord. But I pray, Lord, you would encourage us, even in the small ways, Lord, in the different things we see in our lives, Lord, that you hear our prayers, Lord. I pray for each one of us, Lord, no matter where we are. You would speak to us and you would give us, Lord, just an indication, Lord, in some way you would surprise us with an answer to prayer over the next few days, Lord. I know I can pray that, Lord, because you hear my prayer, Lord. And I know, Lord, that prayer is not about us essentially, Lord, trying to change your heart, Lord. It's about you trying to communicate to us and you encourage us in the work that you've called us, Lord. So I pray, Lord, encourage us. I pray, Lord Jesus, be our teacher. Be our teacher so that we can grow in prayer, so that this church, this praying church, can only grow in prayer and grow closer to the God that is our Father. Amen.